Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. As we've discussed in the show so far, a big day coming up in the SEC tournament. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Greg, good morning. Thanks for calling in. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you for the opportunity to visit.
Well, appreciate you taking time to be with us, Greg. Obviously, you guys are no stranger to our city here in Nashville, and this has been an event that has been wildly popular and successful for a long time. Just from your viewpoint, what has this week been like for you and the SEC so far, and how would you describe the SEC's relationship with our city and Bridgestone Arena here in Nashville?
Well, the full week's busy, so it actually begins in Greenville as we crown a champion for our women's tournament, and then it's home to Unpack and Repack. We're up here on Tuesday. There's actually a lot that takes place around our tournament that's unseen, meetings of different groups, development directors from our campuses, our chief financial officers, our presidents and chancellors. We actually have a network meeting that I'll spend time on this morning with our colleagues from ESPN. And then the games, you know, just incredibly competitive games. We started yesterday with an overtime, but we've had, I think, all but one game essentially be one possession throughout the ending moments of the competition. And our basketball's in a really healthy place from a competitive standpoint. The opportunity to have, well, I think really are 9 teams still under consideration for NCAA tournament opportunities is a lot of progress from when we were here back in 2016.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, Greg. Obviously, this league is, you're talking elite football, women's basketball, baseball, you know, gymnastics, but men's basketball, you mentioned in 2016, I think it was 2 straight years of 3 bids, and I know you guys made a lot of changes, investment, emphasis on different things. What's been the biggest key, and just how would you characterize this league in men's basketball relative to the other top leagues in America?
Going back, the key to me is the commitment to from our campuses to support programs that perform at the level of expectation we have for all of our sports. And I think if you compare us across the country right now, we're toe-to-toe or shoulder-to-shoulder, whatever body part one wants to pick with any other league. We're not victorious in the Big 12 challenge that we have, the final year of that event. But if you actually look at how our teams have played over the last 30 to 45 days since that event, we've seen some teams mature. We didn't have A&M in that particular event because of the way we schedule well in advance. And that leads to the excitement in the weeks ahead. The opportunity to have a high number of teams selected to the NCAA tournament, but it's not just about selection, it's about performance of those teams once they're involved. And we have coaches, we have committed campuses, we built facilities, we have support staffs. I think we really have been talking since 2016 about the right sort of elements around men's basketball beyond just kind of the nitty-gritty of RPI or net rankings, but how do we support programs of excellence and achievement?
Well, Greg, and to that point, you bring up the coaches in this conference, just the talent of coaches that is now with the men's basketball programs in your league. I think it stacks up to any other conference around the country. How big of an impact is the coaching talent that is now in this league and the progress we've seen there?
In my view, it's enormous because that's a 365-day connection to leadership. And that's about vision. It's about the ability to attract people into your program, whether they're assistant coaches, operation directors, support staff and player development, strength and conditioning coaches, and obviously the participants, the competitors, the players. It's also an individual position that brings the community in through the relationships, and we've seen that with coaches. I look back to last year, and we had a tremendous amount of transition. And you've seen programs that have generally had to retool, so you never know what to expect. But to see what Dennis Gates has done at Missouri and Chris Jans at Mississippi State right now with the opportunity to play into the tournament. But to even go more broadly, I think each of those new coaches has brought a fresh energy and spirit and approach to programs. And while some may not have had the competitive success, I think you're seeing the foundation laid for those programs to build. And that's added to the people that have long histories of success in coaching. You look at Cal up at Kentucky, Rick Barnes at Tennessee, see Jerry's program maturing at Vanderbilt, what Eric's done over his time at Arkansas. You know, Buzz, is co-coach of the year along with Jerry, has this pedigree that goes way back to community college where he was a manager. But he and I intersected at Texas Arlington when I was commissioner of that conference, led Marquette, led Virginia Tech, and now having success in A&M. And you just kind of keep going through each of the coaches, Bruce down at Auburn in a Final Four run. I think that just adds to the excitement. Those people and personalities on the sideline are a part of the special feel of college basketball.
Greg, just wondering what the feedback you get, because obviously primarily this tournament has been in Nashville, last year in Tampa, but the feedback on this tournament being here, you know, from coaches and ADs and teams, and beyond this deal, do you envision this being long-term that primarily it will be in Nashville?
The feedback's been continually positive, and we always try to tweak and improve and learn from year to year. We made a commitment here way, way back in the early 2000s for the first time to have a tournament here, and to watch the city grow, become one of the most dynamic metropolitan areas in the country, to have our basketball tournament embedded in the heart of Music City is special. And what's really helpful to us is you can watch teams succeed or maybe not meet expectations, and then another team succeeds. The location and the accessibility of Nashville is a benefit to our fan base where, hey, look, we're playing well. Let's get up there for the weekend. We also know that people plan to be here. They plan their year around this particular event. We're appreciative of the Predators. Sean Henry's leadership as president has been an important part of making it work within the building. And what's really interesting to think about the history of the building, to have kind of that rehearsal hall in the back, which would be an odd thing to just put on a sports arena, but it is an incredible benefit for us as we have a high volume of media participating and attending and press conferences, hotel situation, dinner, entertainment. I'm watching some of my colleagues put out press releases about what they're doing around their tournament, and I've told our PR staff, we should just put out a press release that says in really big, bold print, Nashville. that's what adds to the excitement. So, yeah, we're going to be here. We've got the opportunity right now to be here annually through 2030, with then an opportunity to extend again for 5 years. And I really look forward to our future here. I think we have the opportunity to establish something incredibly special.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Greg, how much of your time has been occupied of late about the football scheduling that's coming up? We know Texas and Oklahoma joining the league in 2024. How much of the trying to determine what the scheduling is going to look like football-wise has occupied your time of late?
It does. I've got a great staff working on that, so probably not as much in some of the minutia. I'm hearing the output of the minutia. But recall, we made the decision to extend invitations back in July of 21, and in August of 21, we began the effort to understand the needs, but also the wants and the priorities around how we will schedule each of our sports. So there were 21 of those to figure out, but but football will dominate the level of interest. The foundation's laid, and I said last year in Destin that we were poised to make a decision. And then what happened is we took a step back as a group and said, you know what, there's a lot of change that we can see coming over the next 3 to 4 months. And last summer we were thinking about the CFP trying to figure out direction on its format, not determining its format, but direction, watching what was happening around with some media decisions that conferences had to make, notably the Big Ten. We also wanted to dig much deeper into some of the analytics around tiebreakers if we move to a single division. And the focus really became, let's have our teams move through our campuses with much greater frequency than we do right now. You know, these cross-divisional opponents might only make a trip to the other side for an away game once every 12 years. And that's a long time for our fans to experience the excitement of some of our teams. And so we've moved through a lot of that conversation. We've actually learned more in the last, 9 or 10 months than we thought last May in Destin we'd learn, with conference expansion, the CFP expansion being finalized. So we're working through kind of the final aspects. We'll have to come to a decision between now and our Destin meeting at the end of May. And it will occupy more and more of my time as we go forward to that point.
Is it accurate, Greg, to say that, you know, ESPN revenue increase going to 9 is a huge key of that decision? And also, do you have a list? Like, do you know the list right now? Do you have a working list somewhere, like in your pocket or in your computer? Like, these are the 3 if we go to 9, or, you know, is that fluid?
There's a lot of fluidity to everything, and the pieces to the puzzle aren't attached to just one element. I think there's a lot of commentary about TV's control or influence, you know, really going back to the expansion itself. That was about Texas and Oklahoma wanting to affiliate with the Southeastern Conference, and that television conversation was in the background. I'm someone who never thinks in life that money leads. I think it follows really good decision-making. And so our focus is on kind of the competitive aspect of what we do. We obviously have an interest in what our broadcast partner will do, because the year we expand, 24, is a year of enormous change. We'll go to 16. The Big Ten will go to 16. We'll move all of our TV inventory to the Disney, ABC, ESPN platforms. The CFP will expand. Those are really important data points for us. And we have a number of models. I'll make that observation, number of models. We've developed over 40-plus different ways to look at football scheduling. Those have been narrowed. A lot of speculation about 3 games. If we have a 9-game schedule, who are teams' 3 primary opponents? That's an overread of the situation. Every one of our schedules will be either 8 or 9 games. And the only correct analysis is to look at the full season schedule, not 1/3 of a season's schedule, if it was 9 games. We also know that, you know, history and rivalries are really important in this league. And one of the really, I think, meaningful aspects of our expansion is, unlike most every other conference expansion of which I'm familiar, this one brings back rivalries. And so the ability for Oklahoma and Missouri, who were Big 8 members for decades, to play each other, obviously Texas and Texas A&M, the Arkansas-Texas rivalry, we're uniquely positioned to honor those rivalries, and that's a big part of our decision making as we go forward. How do we include those special games, Florida and Georgia, in there, the Iron Bowl, the Egg Bowl, some of the real special things that define the SEC.
Well, Greg, we really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Enjoy the weekend here in Nashville, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity. Have a great day. Look forward to some basketball later today.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it as well. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrow. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.